Hello everyone, I'd like to welcome you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. It's 4:30 p.m. Eastern on the 29th of July. Hard to believe that August is right around the corner. I could play potentially a lot of clips from the Alex Jones show today. A lot of very interesting things. Let's just play it by ear a little bit here and see how all this goes.
And I'm having trouble even being on air right now. Because there's so much data, so much proof. It's all totally confirmed to myself, to you, to everybody else. And it is completely and absolutely evil, diabolical, and in our face. And you can see every facet of this takeover plan that leads towards a medical tyranny that kills us via DNA-altering, soft kill, slow kill, so-called vaccines. And the level of lies is just getting over the top. And so I really am going to do my best job going over all of this today. Now, when we come back, I'm going to air Bill Gates on CNN with Anderson Cooper. And it's about a 3.5 minute video, and I'm going to try to not stop it, start it too much, but it is so deceptive and so evil and so out in the open about its deception and its evil. It's simply mind-blowing. And then there's the other Gates interview from CBS this weekend we played yesterday where they're saying, hey, 100% of people in one of your vaccine trials got sick and in the other vaccine trials, 80%, some of them paralyzed. And Gates is like, well, it's no big deal. You're going to take the vaccines. So they're even telling you it's going to hurt you. And it doesn't even protect you. And he is so obviously psychotic and evil. And he wants the global depopulation. And he hangs around with Jeffrey Epstein.
They're talking about the COVID-19 vaccines that are undergoing trials right now. They've already skipped the animal trials and they jumped right into human trials. And people are having a lot of really adverse reactions. So that's what they're talking about if you're wondering.
He is going on Anderson Cooper, a Vanderbilt, the Vanderbilt heir, another globalist, probably richer than Gates, their money's hidden, and says, it's crazy. We're not connected to Jeffrey Epstein, even though both of them are. Bill Gates would live at his house in Paris and New York for sometimes weeks on end, and he's all over the ledgers of the Lolita Pedophile Airplane Express. Meanwhile, you've got the president being censored, and Don Jr. is in Twitter jail, his account locked up, because they, quote, put out that hydroxychloroquine helps with COVID-19 infections. There's hundreds of studies saying it, because the UN says that's not true. So the president, our president's tweets deleted, because the UN says that's not the case. Think about that. We're under UN control, and our president's battling just to get some semblance of American control.
We are selling more privacy pockets a day than we were previously selling.
From the election, as the forces of globalism, the communist Chinese, the EU, Hollywood, the Fortune 100 openly battle to trigger race war and the collapse of the U.S. dollar. Gold has exploded to an all-time high at $2,000 an ounce. As every major financial publication calls for the end of the dollar and the end of American hegemonic power in the world to be replaced with the world champions of tyranny, mass murder, genetic engineering, the communist Chinese superstate. The average American has been promised They will live austerely as slaves once we're collapsed. That's what the globalists actually say they're going to do. But the professors at the community colleges tell all the young commies, you're going to rule as managers in the new utopia. And the meth heads, that's who they mainly are in Antifa and Black Lives Matter, they're mainly white. They then get completely excited about the whole thing and run around and start shooting men, women, and children and shooting police in the head. And they're called peaceful demonstrators as they burn down courthouses and try to burn down federal buildings. And we're told that this is martial law by Trump in his feeble, gelded, lackluster, soft soap response. This is how republics die, when the mouse of the New World Order that roared intimidates the mighty lion. This is like a chihuahua coming up and growling at a pit bull, and the pit bull rolls over and urinates all over itself. But many times that's actually what happens. Because we've been trained to appease the establishment. When the communist Chinese and the EU and Soros publicly fund violent radicals, Google engineers, professors, assistant professors, drug dealers, bureaucrats, they're all out in black uniforms hitting men, women, and children in the head with hammers and throwing Molotov cocktails. But that's okay. It's kind of like, you know, Tim Cook runs death camps in China making components for his phones on record. He's the worst offender. But it's okay. He wears little black T-shirts and prances around and goes, I'm gay, I'm gay. This is all their smokescreen for their vicious evil. We have a special guest in studio next segment that really symbolizes our entire future and where we are as a species. And then I would suggest you call your neighbors, your friends, your family, your coworkers, your boss, your employees, your church friends, random people. I suggest you email everyone you know. I suggest you text message everyone you know and say, if you want to know the secret of COVID-19 and what's coming next, and if you want to understand the permanent scientific medical dictatorship we're going under that is designed to depopulate the planet, then you need to tune in to Infowars.com/show, Newswars.com/show, or the band.video, Alex Jones section. That's the best feed to send out. Go to the Alex Jones section, click on the left-hand corner, find the link to my page.
Well, I'm torn. There's some really good parts of this clip, but I don't want to take us too far off of the Meyer path. Especially, I know people come to this show to get the Meyer stuff, not necessarily listen to these clips, but he was going to talk about Joel Skousen, who's going to come on later. If you haven't looked, don't know who he is, you should probably look him up. We're at a very bad place in the United States right now. And as you know, Billy has predicted the two civil wars and the breakup of the United States into five different areas. And it's all progressing faster than I ever thought it could, as I have been for the past week or two or three, maybe now. I've been reading contact reports in what I call the second part of the show. For somehow the show has kind of been divided into three sections, and this is contact report 244, a little farther down, and Pata and Billy are talking about right now the charlatans, the fakers in the UFO community. So I'll just pick it up there on line 95 of contact report 244. We could never find ourselves ready to enter into physical or telepathic or any other kind of contact with Earthlings, because on the one hand, we would endanger our own lives because our mental vibrations cannot harmonize with those of the Earthlings. And on the other hand, because the machinations of all the lies, the swindle, the deception, the charlatanism, the sectarianism, and all the other degeneration of the earth's people offer no possibility of connection between them and us. I wanted to go back to where he said, because on the one hand, we could endanger our own lives because our mental vibrations cannot harmonize with the earthlings. The Pleiaren are very radically affected by our thoughts because our thoughts are so negative and so unharmonious, let's put it that way. In other words, they have to wear kind of a special technology that protects them from being around Earth humans that have these kind of negative thoughts, which is almost all of us, except people like Billy. Billy is much more evolved than we are, so he doesn't have the same problems with his thoughts. But anyway, I thought that was very interesting that they can't have telepathic contact with us because of that reason, among many others. All the degenerations of human beings on Earth sufficiently prove that they are incapable of any contact with us, not to mention the impossibility of harmonizing the mental vibrations. This means that the Earth people must find their way. Even those who cannot understand do not know the secret of why you are the only person on planet Earth who can maintain contacts with us and with other forms of extraterrestrial life. There you go. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. Especially all the charlatans, liars, sectarians, deceivers, and all the other trash cannot cope with this. Which is why they are envious and denigrate you in every possible way. And I think that's why Billy is attacked so much. There's a lot of jealousy, is that the right word? Envious? They're envious? This only applies to those who call themselves megalomaniacal, ufological, or esoteric experts, but who really have no idea what is really going on. You mean the esoterics and ufologists as well as crop circle specialists? Billy asks. Patas says, of course, I'm talking about them. Billy says, special comedians, these guys. Just like those Americans who do nonsense with their little grays. Say, doesn't that put on an end to those weirdos, comedians, phantoms, liars, cheats, swindlers, insectarians, as well as charlatans, schizophrenics, and all the unfair rabble? Is it really to be the case that they can continue to do their mischief and drive people astray into delusion? Misery and misery? Ptah, unfortunately, there is no end in sight to this. On the contrary, everything that is related to it will increase even more, with everything becoming more and more vicious, religious, sectarian delusion. God prospects. Gold prospects. Well, those who have been all my questions and concerns, so which we can switch to other things which aren't supposed to be official anymore. And the next would be contact report 245. And I might jump into this just a little bit. This occurred on Wednesday, the 3rd of February, 1993. And Billy says, and I may or may not go very long in this. I don't really know for sure. Billy says, that's a surprise. I do not think that you would already come right now, to be honest. I was only expecting you the following night. But anyhow, welcome. Patah says, this time is just convenient for me to visit you, friend Edward. It seems, however, that you're not particularly well in terms of health. And Billy says, unfortunately, I'm really not feeling well, but it will turn out again that I feel better. Ta, you really do not look well. But you certainly won't accept help again. Billy, you hit the nail on the head. You know my attitude. I do not want any special rights in comparison with all the others. That's that. Pita says, you explain this to us over and over again, which is why it would be pointless if I make another attempt. And Billy says, exactly. Pita says, then I will pass on to you all the greetings which I am supposed to bring you from my daughters, Playa and Semyase, then also from Quetzal, Talja, and Minara, and from others. Further on, I am especially requested to pass on greetings from Isodas. He can't seem to get the formal happenings out of his mind. Billy says, nice, and many thanks to all, also with the best wishes and greetings. It is always a great pleasure for me to hear from them or to exchange a few words with you, dear friend. These contact reports are really interesting, generally speaking. Like, I'll go through a few of them and weed out some things for you. Of course, read them for yourself if you want to read it all. But mostly, it's just kind of a joy to read and listen to. Pita says, as I have already noticed many times, this is also the case when you are able to talk with group members. Of course, only. Unfortunately, these are narrow circles. Outside of them, mostly everything or many things are unfriendly and loveless. If I am in the regard of thinking of the former Yugoslavia, it makes me sick to my stomach. This also applies to the nonsense that the responsible ones of this world do not take the necessary measures to finally put an end to the misery here. I am thereby very specially thinking of the UN and of the big-mouthed Americans, as well as the English and the Germans, the French and the Italians, etc., who are inactively watching the massacres and rapes and other crimes which are occurring there. Our worldwide initiative with your explanations did not do any good whatsoever. I don't remember exactly what happened in Yugoslavia. Probably be worth me looking that up someday, maybe sooner rather than later. So this would have been in the 1990s. Pita says, we've also noticed that, and it really is the case that all responsible one of Earth have nothing but a big mouth. But there are also many irresponsible persons among the respective populations who are in agreement with the feeble and unhuman criminal machinations of inaction and those governing them, whereby all misery is further increased. Instead, for example, that the UN troops would properly intervene in the respective war actions as the peace-fighting troops following Henoch's system, in order to end them in a short time, they act according to their stupid and irresponsible superiors and according to the associated countries as useless situation monitors and as effective angels of peace who are well armed with weapons and however forced to allow getting killed defenselessly. And I'm not sure, that seems to be mistranslated or something. And maybe that's as far as we'll go for this time around. I will hold my place there, and I want to make a quick note of that. Well, we talked a little bit about Contact Report 244, 245. We had some current events, and this leads us into The Might of Thoughts book, Macht der Gedanken. Remember, one of the best ways to clear your head of the garbage that sometimes accumulates because of negative thoughts, or unhealthy negative thoughts, I should say, because some negative thoughts are actually healthy. It's sometimes difficult to determine. Like I said last show, anxiety and doubt are a good indicator that your negative thoughts are quite bad. Anxiety and doubt are always bad, meaning we should be confident and optimistic and relaxed. But a lot of times we're not. We suffer with anxiety and doubt. And in page 168 of the Might of Thoughts, it states that from that it follows that anxiety and doubt are the greatest enemies of knowledge. And if they appear, they're able to destroy and annihilate everything. And what that means to me is that if you have anxiety and doubt, it destroys your knowledge, which is interesting. How many times have you been anxious or stressed, and becomes hard to think? It's hard to think clearly. Might of Thoughts, page 168. But that is bound with the necessity of rigorously excluding anxiety and doubt, because they are evil elements of disintegration, which are able to break or bend every straight line of every evolutive effort and can make all efforts useless. So the anxiety and the doubt sets you back. That's why I like to say I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic, I'm the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune, the creator of my own good luck. I do not allow my thoughts to drift on the ocean of life. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. I nurture my thoughts. I clarify my thoughts. I strengthen my thoughts. It is the nature of the thoughts that by their might alone that every conceivable thing can be brought to fruition. What I mightfully think manifests for me. What I mightfully think manifests for me. Therefore, in every regard, the human being must trust himself. And a lot of times, we don't trust ourselves. And that's why we get into anxiety and doubt. So you have to trust yourself. Don't let the anxiety and the doubt come in. Another important principle, system and order, and that is trying to get your daily life structured as much as possible. It is an amazing thing. Now, a lot of us, of course, have work or certain tasks we already perform at certain times rather than others. And some people are naturally very good at this, but this has been a very helpful thing to me. Let me read here. It says, happy and successful material life, then the daily life has to be structured and adhered to in every respect according to the same law of system and order. This Meyer material is so helpful. Conscientiousness is the quality of wishing to do one's work and duty well and thoroughly. And that's a good investment in your future, to be willing to do your work good. And even if you've got to sometimes collaborate with others, don't beat yourself up. On page 122 and then 124, I'm going to read a few things and then try to elaborate on some things. And all these factors must be critically examined and recognized after they are tracked down. Therefore, the psychically disturbed human being must learn to recognize all the things which distort reality. When he or she must learn to become conscious that in regard to the psyche, there are wrong, disturbing, damaging, and ill-inducing nature. And the psychically disturbed human being must necessarily also learn to free himself from his or her wrong assumptions. thoughts and feelings and to no longer be convinced by them. So we have to test our assumptions at times. Make sure you haven't made a wrong assumption. Connected with that, at the same time, is the working of new alternative and realistic thoughts through which corresponding feelings are produced, which influence the burden physique, psyche. So that's what happens. Our psyche gets burdened from the negative thoughts. And you'll notice, just like me speaking what are kind of thoughts from the book or Billy's thoughts, it takes the burden off of your psyche. Because the psyche is influenced by feelings, mostly. And the feelings come out of the thoughts. So that the feelings are produced, which influence the burdened psyche and help the human being to consciously work on and overcome his specific emerging problematic situation better and for him or her satisfactorily. However, this is only the second step in the entire process, which is carried out with the help of psychotherapeutically schooled persons. So sometimes people need a psychologist or psychiatrist to help them to work things out. Now, of course, I'm not in that field, but we can, through this book, and Billy goes into this, go through these things, which will help us greatly to sort things out for ourselves. Whereby, however, also nothing stands in the way of self-therapy when there exist the necessary cognitions and powers, which are indeed required for that. If that's not the case, then self-therapy is absolutely advised against. So if we got a book like this, we can do some self-therapy. And one thing to give ourselves therapy is to look at our feelings. The feelings grow out of the thoughts. The feelings are life-sustaining. Feelings enable quick processing of internal and external stimuli. Feelings simplify things. Feelings make life easier and bearable. Feelings also allow the thoughts to discharge. Their energy, their heat, so to speak. So feelings enable a quick and automatic procedure for the processing of relevant endogenous or environmental stimuli. So you're getting all the stimuli internally, all the stimuli that's bubbling, and you're getting all this external stimuli. So the feelings, so you can have a feeling, because your body remembers, you know, these circumstances, a few of them, and then a certain feeling comes in. So instead of thinking about 30 things at once, we can recognize a pattern, and the feeling comes back up. The brain will, because the feelings grab the thoughts, the brain, the psyche, generates the feelings, which help you to remember this circumstance. You know, it's almost like when you come up against these difficult situations where all these different things are happening, the brain uses the feeling to kind of simplify things so everything will make sense again. Page 106, feelings represent primary processes in the carrying out of life, which is why they must not be stifled or eliminated. A lot of times we're told to fight our feelings, especially males, told to fight our feelings, which is evidently a bad idea. They must never be forced with gewalt or to be fought and eliminated. But the difference between feelings and emotions is easy to recognize. For every human being, if he or she directs his attention to them, emotions, namely, come like lightning, surging, exciting, uncontrollable, whereby they are often only of short duration. So in the feelings manifest slowly Emotions manifest quickly and the feelings manifest slowly. And the feelings are generally, usually a little healthier than the emotions. So I don't know where the time went, but we are already at the end of our time, I do believe. Well, since I pressed the pause button a little longer than I knew, I'm going to have to kind of repeat myself a little bit here. And I think I'm going to jump in. It may be a shorter show since you guys missed the show because I had the recording paused there for a little bit. Oh boy. So let me jump in with some important thoughts on feelings. Feelings grab the thoughts. Feelings are life-sustaining. Feelings enable quick processing of internal and external stimuli. So let me stop there. So you've got this situation. Say you got three people mad at you or something. This is a totally made-up situation. And each one of them is saying bad things about you and whatever. So you're having this really bad experience, and it's very complicated, and they're all talking at once, and you know, there's other things going on, and maybe there's 30 different things going on or something to that effect, and it's very, very complicated. And you're having all these internal feelings, right? And thoughts and emotions and all these things flying around internally because of this really strange thing that's happening. You're being attacked by these three people. Let's say it's a verbal attack. So this goes on for 15 or 20 minutes and then it's over. Now, and then, you know, you go about your business. You'll think about that circumstance a little bit, and then you'll start to generate feelings. The brain will start to generate feelings about this kind of unpleasant situation that occurred, although some things were said that kind of maybe were helpful to clarify in certain ways. So now your body's developed these feelings. Now remember, it was from originally an external stimuli, and you had your own internal stimuli that kind of popped up. So feelings then simplify things. Feelings make life easier and bearable in cases like this. So this is one of the reasons why the feelings grab the thoughts. Because it helps the body kind of summarize things and to make things more understandable. And it also, the feelings give you a release too in your own thoughts, that the thoughts don't run too hot. So it helps the human being. It's a quick and automatic procedure. So this is what is happening all the time in the brain. The brain is creating feelings. The feelings grab the thoughts. The feelings are not emotions. The emotions surge quickly with a real, real intensity. Surging forward. And sometimes, you know, you have bad, a lot of times, emotions can be bad. But feelings enable a quick automatic procedure that helps you. So the next time you run into these same three people again, you're going to have feelings that come up that remind you of this really intense discussion that you had. So it simplifies things. It makes it a little easier on the brain from dealing with 30 things that were said in this conversation. Now you're back to a feeling or two that are associated with this. So the other thing I want to talk about is assumptions. That a lot of times we make wrong assumptions and we pay for those wrong assumptions. Like we'll have anxiety and doubt because we've made wrong assumptions. Now, anxiety and doubt are never good things. And if you have anxiety and doubt, then you want to push that out of your brain or use a neutral positive thought process. The maintenance of doubt has in no way anything to do with a healthy, logical, knowledge-demanding search for the truth. So there are a few negative thoughts which are healthy, but doubt isn't one of them. Neither is anxiety. So search your feelings and try to find the beginning of the feelings. If it is doubt, then you're going down a wrong path. So learn that process of evaluating your feelings and then try to get to maybe the thought that caused the feelings. And if it's anxiety or doubt, that's something you shouldn't be doing. You shouldn't be having anxiety and doubt. And usually, anxiety and doubt are produced when you don't have a clear vision. So try to produce a clear vision. That's one of the reasons why I say my little spiel where I say I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic, I'm the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune, the creator of my own good luck. I do not allow my thoughts to drift on the ocean of life. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. I nurture my thoughts. I clarify my thoughts. I strengthen my thoughts. It is the nature of the thoughts that by their might alone, every conceivable thing can be brought to fruition. Now, that's a pretty big statement, that every conceivable thing can be brought to fruition. But I bank on that. We also have some very interesting things, like, for here you go. And therefore, in every regard, the human being must trust himself and in his or her own power and might. So we have to throw out the anxiety and the doubt. Trust yourself. Trust in your own power and might. And then you'll get a clear vision. And one of the ways to get rid of the unclear vision that you have, or the bad feelings that are starting to percolate up because of anxiety and doubt, is to speak to your consciousness. Say, I am confident, I am optimistic, I am relaxed, I am cheerful. Or you could say, love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it everything exists in absolute logic. Every tiny plant, every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love. There's a wonderful creational natural law called the law of harmony. So we bring in the calm back, the harmony, by thinking in a neutral positive way, by speaking in a neutral positive way, but also by doing things at a specific time and in a specific way. So then the daily life has to be structured and adhered to in every respect. So, and there's going to be little things that pop up where you're trying to follow system and order. And because of my little snafu here today, I'm probably going to shut the... this will be a short episode. Let's just say that. Let me read here. It says, then the daily life has to be structured and adhered to in every respect, according to the very same law of system and order. So we're intentionally bringing some extra system and order into our lives so that we don't float around aimlessly. If you're aimless, you don't have a destination or goal in mind. So, and you're making wrong assumptions. So track down your wrong assumptions. Dysfunctional thoughts and feelings can be tracked down and recognized. That's what I was talking about earlier. So when you're having your anxiety, track it down and say, wait a minute, this is a dysfunctional thought and feeling. Try to get a clear vision. It's really amazing how this works. It's astonishing. It's really good when you start to recognize when you're actually having anxiety and doubt. To which end, however, the psychically disturbed human being must reach out and therefore be interactive. However, the tracking down of the distortions of reality is thereby still not adequately done for a long time. So, you know, you can create a diary of thoughts and feelings. Look for problem-causing thoughts and the feelings which arise from them. And sometimes you start to evaluate things when you're in this bad state, which is bad too, which are unconsciously tended and nurtured and which operate automatically. So when you're having these negative thoughts and feelings, a lot of times you're functioning on automatic. It's automatic. And that's when you know you're really getting into the vicious cycle where the thoughts and the feelings and the thoughts and the feelings, and pretty soon you'll have emotions just swirl up, which generate more thoughts and feelings. But what we want to do is be able to be in harmony, the law of harmony, and utilize system and order to help hold our life together. With a specific structure. So this is very important things here. Let me continue here. Because it is through them that the feelings are disturbed. So the automatic thoughts disturb the feelings. And thereby also the psyche. The feelings then disturb the psyche. When they create an influence in a wrong, negating, and only negative form. In this kind, they call forth a more or less dangerous distortion of reality. The more you're influenced by negative thinking, the more you'll have a distortion of reality, which can contribute to anxieties and depressions. However, clearing up this is not exactly simple. Rather, it requires necessary knowledge in the living of practical experience. So the knowledge that we have in this book can help us a whole lot. Sometimes you might need some professional assistance if you're having some real difficult and challenging negative thoughts. So anyway, we're talking about the Might of Thoughts book. Sorry we're a little short today because I don't press the resume on pause and we talk to ourselves for not too long of a time. Anyway, you've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great